And we're holding on Ayin Tes Amud Beis by the Mishnah, by the last Mishnah, second Mishnah on the Amud. Mishnah says, "Kosav l'shum malchus sheina hegenes." If you wrote the get using dating by an unworthy kingdom, or the loy sheina hegenes can be unworthy, not suitable, whatever. The Gemara is going to explain that it has a specific reference that is actually talking about the Roman Empire. The Rambam says more generally it means a kingdom that doesn't rule over the place where you're writing the get. So you're in Babel, for example, and you're writing using the dating of the Roman Empire or the Roman Emperor or vice versa.
Shum
Lashum in the name of a kingdom Sheina Hegenes, that's not suitable, not worthy. Or Lashum Malchus Modai, Lashum Malchus Yavan, if you write it in the name of the kingdom of Media, the kingdom of Paros Modai that was eventually conquered by the Greeks, Lashum Malchus Yavan, or in the name of the Greek kingdom, Lavinian Abayas, you date it according to the building of the Besmekdash, Lachorban Abayas, or the destruction of the Besmekdash, all of those are no good. As the Gemara is going to tell us, you have to write in the date, you have to date the get according to the ruling king, according to the ruling king or the ruling empire of where you are.
So we'll
learn in the Gemara. That's a matter of Shloim Malchus. That's a matter of having peaceful relations. Let's wait until we get to the Gemara. We'll talk about the details why and also why we don't do this anymore. Okay. If he's in the east and he writes the place where he's writing the get, he writes instead the west. A Meir of a Kosev a Mizrach. So in all these cases, the get is possible. She has to leave her first husband and her second husband, meaning if she uses this get to remarry, she's not allowed to return to her first husband. But she also, we cancel her, as we learned in Yevamos, a whole bunch of cases related to these, many of which the Mishnah is going to be bringing over here, that she will need a get. She'll need a second get from the first guy, but also she's going to need a get from the second guy, and she can't remarry either of them.
The children
that we'll get to, yeah. So now Rashi points out, technically, if the get wasn't a get, then the children from the second husband should, not the children from the kedushin of the second one, shouldn't even be real kedushin, because she was still an Eshes Ish. Why does she need a get from him? So in Yevamos, we learned the reason is because we made a gzera, because what happens if people don't realize that the first get was not really valid? People are going to think it's a valid get. She married the second guy. Later on, they're going to see she's leaving him without a get, and they're going to think, oh, an Eshes Ish doesn't need a get.
So it's purely virtual because she's an Eshes.
Yeah, well, Tosfos learns the other way around, actually. Tosfos says that, no, there are cases, yes, we have cases in Yevamos over there where the first get is completely possible daraisa. In all these cases in the Mishnah that we're discussing over here, and all these cases I've mentioned about misdating it or writing the wrong place or whatever, all of these are only possible darabanan. Because daraisa, you don't even need a date in a get. We learned earlier that you only needed the whole a date, you only need the darabanan. So therefore, Tosva says the other way around. The first get, on the contrary, then she'll definitely need. It definitely was valid kedushin with the second guy. There's no question she's going to need a get from him as well. And there's no question that the fact that the children are mamzerim, the fact that she can't remarry him, etc. This is all a knas to rabban. And continues the Mishnah. She needs a get from both of them. A proper get from the first one, and then another get from the second one. The Eimah like Ksuba, she does not get a Ksuba. That's another knas that we made. The like Paris, she doesn't get, there's no Paris. Now, what Paris? The Paris is what the husband gets. That's not something that she gets. So Rashi explains over here that Paris means the din corresponding to Paris. We learned in Ksubas that the husband is entitled to Paris from his wife's Nechostim, from her Nesimalog. In return, he's obligated to get to pay money to get her out of captivity. In this case, that doesn't apply. She doesn't get that. Other Rishonim learn that it also means if either the first or the second husband had eaten Paris from her Nichsim Lug and were saying it wasn't a valid marriage, the second one at least, so he'd have to reimburse her, like this we cancel her and we make it that they don't have to reimburse her. That's what it means, Paris. Okay. Veloy Mazonis, she doesn't get Mazonis. Veloy Blois, and she's not entitled to Blois. To the worn out remnants of her nichse tzayin barzel, the nechassim that she brought into the marriage, which the husband nichse tzayin barzel, the ones that are under the husband's control, but he has to return them to her when they're done. So Rashi says blois means actually even you have the the leftover, the worn-out pieces, even if they still exist, we don't return them to her. Tosfos says that no, those actually she does. Those actually she does get. Even a woman who's mezaneh, full-fledged mezaneh, still gets blois kayomen, it's called. We're talking about b'shein kayomen. We're talking about when the husband used it up. It's completely gone, where normally he would have to reimburse her for it at the end of the marriage. Like this, the knas is that he doesn't. So loyal zev from neither one. If she took anything from one or from the other, mezonos or what have you, taxer, she has to return it to them. Further, v'havlad mamzer mizeh umizeh, the child from either one is a mamzer, meaning not obviously any children she had with her first husband before he ever gave her this possible get. We're not talking about that. We mean if he remarried her, so midrabbanan, we make him a mamzer drabbanan.
If
the first husband remarried her, and they had a child, even though, according to Rashi, her marriage with the second one is not considered a marriage at all, because the first get was never a get. She was still an Ashes Ish. So you would think then, in that case, well, if she returns to her first husband, fine. I mean, it's just the equivalent of her being Mizana, maybe Shoigig or whatever, and then returning to him. And Rabbanon, we say no. We say that the children from him will be Mamzerim, and how much more so from the second one, where it was since he married her without a well, not the coins of Rashi. According to Tosfos, I guess it would be the other way around. That since the first get was valid, Daraisa, if it's not Rabbanon, then it would be the children from the second one that are Mamzerim, Rabbanon. Be that as it may, Rashi points out, Mamzer Rabbanon, in a way, is worse off even than a Mamzer Daraisa. A mamzer deraisa can marry a mamzeres. You can't, or you can marry a geyerus, or you can marry a mamzeres. A mamzer derabbanan, because after all, a deraisa, he's a kosher yid, he can't marry a mamzeres. The only one he can marry is a geyerus, practically speaking, is a geyerus, or shechem a sheferus, which is pretty much the same thing. Then he's the mission of a lezev and a tamin law. In this case, neither one of them becomes tamei for her. So Rashi says, meaning if either one of them is a koyin, then they're normally if Kohen can matame for his wife, like this they can't. Other Mephoshim say it means even in Yisrael, normally you have a person is supposed to be matame for his wife, because in Yisrael there's no Isser in it, but he's supposed to. In this case, there's no requirement for him to, because he's not really considered his wife, la halacha. We learned in Yevamos that these are all a series of knossim that we make. We had the various cases over there. The primary case we talked about is a case where a woman's husband is presumed dead and Adim, and one aid came or whatever, or off the Asma or whatever, and then she remarried and he turns up alive. So there's a similar idea that we cancel her. In this case, she should have taken a look. She should have taken a look at the get and realized there's something the matter with it. So neither one of them is entitled to anything she finds, because the reason why the Chachamim made the Takana that they should keep anything she finds is to prevent Eva, to prevent bad feelings between them. Like, look, I'm supporting you, how you talk, and even you find something and I don't get any of it. Like this, we don't care. We like this, we don't care about Eva. They shouldn't be married in the first place. They're not entitled to her earnings. Neither one of them can be made for her nedarim. If she was a Bas Yisrael and married to a Kohen, she becomes possible from then on to be married to a Kohen because she's a Zona. Even if it was B'shoigeg, whatever, but for a Kohen, even such a thing is also. Other Mephoshim point out that she received a get. She's anyway possible to marry a Kohen in the future. So, okay, really, we don't need to mention that so much as the Mishnah can continue with parallel cases of a Levi. So for completeness of sake, we're mentioning possible minyan. Bas Levi mina mice. So if she's a Bas Levi, we cancel her. She's no longer allowed to eat mice rishon, even though there's no kedusha in mice rishon. Intrinsically, anybody could eat it. But in this case, we cancel her and we take that away. Bas Koyin mina truma. And if she's a Bas Koyin, and she's no longer allowed to eat truma again because of this illness. She can't return to truma devei nasha, to truma from her father's house.
She has to leave her father's house.
Well, so like this, she was already married. She left his house anyway. But normally, if Bas Kohen marries Yisrael, and then her husband dies, and they have no living descendants, she goes back to Truma de Bein Nosha. She goes back to eating Truma from her father's house. Like this, she can't. The Ein Yoshin Shal Zev Yoshin Shal Zev Yoshin K'subasa. Neither the Yoshin of the first nor the second husband Yoshin or K'suba. So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Yevamos. What K'suba? We said before, she doesn't have a K'suba. The answer is, we learned in Yevamos, actually we learned in Ksubas more extensively about the concept of Ksubas Benin Dikrin, a takana that the Chachamim made that a woman's children, her sons, are entitled to Yarshin Huksuva over as a separate thing, and then the rest of the estate is divided evenly between all the children. So in this case, we cancel that out. Even though you would think you shouldn't cancel the children, why should they lose out Yarshining their mother's Huksuva? Nevertheless, we treat it as though there was never any Huksuva there. The imesu, and if one or the other of these husbands dies, the brother of either one of them is going to have to, the brother of both of their brothers actually are going to have to do chalitza.
Midravanan,
yeah. Again, for the same reason, because people are going to not realize that there was an invalid get over here. Yeah. Okay. So again, according to Rashi, the first one has to do chalitza min haTorah. And the second one has to do a midravanan. According to Torah, it's supposed to be the other way around. Another case, Shino Shma Yushma. What happens if when he wrote the get, he changed his name or her name, he wrote the wrong name, which doesn't just mean, for example, his name was Abraham and he wrote Yitzchak. That's obvious. We mean even a case we learned before in the Lama Dalet, a case where a person is known by one name in one place and another name in another place. And you use the wrong name instead of like this in a place where he's primarily known as Avraham, you're supposed to write Avraham the Mystery Yitzchak or Avraham the Choshem Shum the Islay or whatever. And the same thing in the place where he's known as Yitzchak, you're supposed to write Yitzchak the Choshem the Islay. If instead in the place where he's known as Avraham, you write Yitzchak the Choshem the Islay or vice versa, then it's the same issue. Yeah.
The get is possible.
V'shem Ira, V'shem Ira, or you wrote incorrectly his name. That's the choicest one to have. V'shem Ira, or you wrote incorrectly his city or her city. And by the way, Tosfos says, we don't, by his city and her city, we don't mean the name of the city where they were born. Apparently, it comes out from Tosfos that apparently at one time there was a common minhag to write in a get the name of the city where a person was born. But Tosfos says intrinsically you don't really need that. That's only for distinguishing. If you have two people who live in the same city who have the same name, then you might, you know, Yosef and Shimon who was born in Brooklyn versus Yosef and Shimon who was born in LA. But intrinsically you don't have to write that. You do have to write where they're living right now. Or I think actually nowadays what they do is more they usually write the place where the get is written. So you change the name of the city. Taitim is there, was there again. She has to get a proper get from both of them. The Chol Adrachim Eilavan. The same rules apply again. All these knossim that we mentioned. More cases. Kol Arayas. This part is more relevant to Yevamos. I think I was bringing it in here for completeness' sake, because it's a similar kind of thing. Kol Arayas Shomer Tzarasen Mitzaris. All the cases, the 15 or 16 Arayas that we learned in Yevamos, where they're potter from Yivum or Chalitza, because they're close relatives, they're Arayas to the surviving brother, and Tzaretzen Mutaris, and in that case we said all their Tzaretz, so their co-wives are also potter from Yivum or Chalitza. So what happens, one of these Tzaretz goes and remarries somebody else without Chalitza, because after she figured she doesn't need it. But the nimtzu elu ayloinis, and then it turned out that the one who was the wife who was the erva, who made everybody potter, is herself an ayloinis, meaning that it was an invalid marriage in the first place. Because if he had known that she was an ayloinis, he wouldn't have married her. Again, Taitim is there, was there. Again, she has to divorce all of them, both of them. V'chol adrachim elavan. Again, all of these knasim that we said. She has to leave the original husband, as well as the husband that she remarried, the guy that she married without chalitza, as well as the yavam. V'chol adrachim ha'elubah. Rashi points out that there is actually, when we say kol adrachim ha'elubah, technically it's not all of them. Well, according to Rabbi Akiva, it is. We learned in Yevamos what exactly is the definition of a mamzer. We said Rabbi Akiva said that we did have an opinion of the goy v'eved avav after shalav lav mamzer, but we're not talking about that. Rabbi Akiva had said any chayve lavin can create a mamzer. Right. Then we had two different other opinions. We had Shimon HaTimni who said that we had Shimon HaTimni and we had Ben Azai about that it's only if it's chayve krisis or only if it's chayve misses based in the halacha it's chayve krisis. A Yevama marrying a Zor is not a chiyuv koris, it's not a chiyuv misses based. Yeah? It's only a lav. So therefore, they're not mamzerim, but they're our Mishnah, then we'll be going according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Next.
How many cases of Kares do we have in
The Mishnah in Krisus tells us there's 36, but actually the Rambam expands it to 43 because there's a few of them that the Mishnah lists which actually have sort of sub-cases within them.
So all these 43 cases would be Mamzerim.
Well, those plus also all the ones that are Chayiv Mitzvah, that are Chayiv Mitzvah based in, yeah. Next, Hakonis is Yuvimta, the Hochot Saros of Anissus Lacher. Now, the other way around, somebody marries his Yuvama, he does Yuvim with her, and her Tzara then goes and marries somebody else. Again, figuring my Tzara was pastored with Yuvim, so that you only need one woman from the family to do Yuvim with Chalitza, and everybody else is pastor, as we learned. And it turns out the one who did Yibum is an Ilonis. Again, the same problem. Well, they actually have a different issue. The issue is not so much now that the first brother, that it was a Mekartos. The issue is rather, we learned in Yuvamas, that an Ilonis is not capable of doing Yibum anyway. Yibum has to be in order, Yokom Hashem Ochiv Ameis, that there should eventually be a child who will take the place of the dead brother, and Ilonis is not capable of that. So therefore, it was an invalid Yibum. Again, this Sara then has to go and get divorced from her current husband as well as she's going to need chalitza from the yavam and again all the same rules apply. Now, I mean, in these cases, you would think there's not as much of a reason to make a knas. It's not like she could have known, unlike the case of a get where she could have read it, but lo plum basically. Yeah, those are the rules. Yeah. Another case. Kosef Sofer get l'ish b'shov l'isha. What happens? The Sofer wrote the get to give to the man who then is going to give it to his wife, and he wrote out the shover. He wrote out a receipt for the woman when the husband pays her uksuba, she'll give the husband that receipt so he can prove that he paid her uksuba. Tosfos points out on Amud Beis, by the way, that there's a machloikus that whenever the Gemara talks about, whenever the Mishnah talks about this concept of a receipt, the Gemara always asks, there's a machloikus in a number of places, is there a requirement to write a receipt? We learned about this in Ksuvos. Do you write a receipt, or do you just tear up the original shtar? So Tosfos says, okay, you can't really prove anything from one way or the other from here, because the fact is there are situations where for one reason or another you have to write a shover. One of them being if there was no written ksuba. We learned in ksuba, you don't necessarily always have to have a written ksuba. They can just be relying on the tachanas hachamim that there has to be a ksuba and a tznoi ksuba. And therefore, necessarily, when it's paid off, you're going to need a shover because there's no physical document to, yeah. Anyway. So like this, he wrote the get to give to the man. He wrote the shover to give to the woman. But tav enough and get le'ish of a shover le'ish. He mistakenly mixed them up. He gave the get to the woman, which is no good. It has to be given from the husband to her. And he gave the shover. Yeah, of course it can, but they didn't find out until later. Wait, the shovel ish, and he gives the shover to the husband, the nofnu zelazeth, so then they exchange their documents. So what does it come out? It comes out then that the husband gave her a shover. He didn't give her a get. Later on, we open up the documents and we find, hey, the man has the get in his hands and the woman has the shover. So obviously now he gave her the shover. So it wasn't a valid divorce. Again, again, she has to leave both husbands. She has to get divorced properly from both husbands, and all these rules apply. Rabbi Loza says it depends, actually. If it was shortly afterwards, and we'll learn in the Gemara how long was shortly afterwards, that you find out the mistake, and the get, then you're right, it's not a valid get, because she never received it from him. But if it was only some time later that you discover that the husband is holding the get and the woman is holding the shover, then haray the get. Then it is a valid get. Why? We don't trust the first one to make the second husband lose out. Meaning, we should assume, Rabbi Loza says, if the mistake was only discovered some time later, and again, we're learning the Gemara what la'achazman means, we should assume everything probably was validly given. Later on, somehow they mixed up the documents, but that's not our problem. At some point, the husband actually gave the wife the get. Right now, the husband has it in his possession. Not our problem. Maybe he and she are trying to play a practical joke on the new husband or whatever. Who knows? We'll learn in the Gemara. Gemara starts off. My malchus shein hagenes. What do we mean? We started off the Mishnah by saying that if you date the get according to an unworthy kingdom, what does that mean? It means malchus aroimim. It means the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. By my horrible mouth is training again. Maybe that's why the Mishnah used the word mouth is training again rather than openly saying mouth is training. Wait. Okay, but my total of Shana Hagenis, why is the Mishnah calling it an unworthy kingdom? No, why is it so obvious? I mean, they're a big empire.
Roman?
But the reason is, Mishum De'en Lahem L'Ksav L'Ay Lashin. They have no script and no language of their own. Which means, well, so what do we mean? So in other words, Rashi says they got it from another nation. Historically, you have. I mean, you have the Romans joined together and with the Latins. That's why, I mean, you ever wonder why the people called Romans and their language is called Latin? Because you have the Latin peoples and you have the Roman peoples who you also have the Etruscans getting over there and they got their alphabet and a large part of their culture and whatever from them. So in that sense, like they have no independent culture and language and whatever of their own. Yeah. Okay.
Where do they come from, the Romans?
So our tradition is they come from Edom. But does that mean all of them? Does it mean only maybe some like their founding fathers, the patricians, whatever? Who knows? Thank you. Yeah. Omar Olam, if name Matakino Malchus the Gittin, by the way, okay, well, let's learn the next piece tomorrow, and then, yeah. If name Matakino Malchus the Gittin, why does the Chana Neka Takana that you should date the get according to the ruling kingdom, so that if you are in the Roman Empire, you ignore the fact that they don't have a Sav and Lashon of their own, and you do use their dates, and if you live in Babel, then you use their dates, etc. The reason is Mishram Shloim Malchus, in order that you should have peaceful relationship with the government. Like this, the Goyim should see, look how important the Jews consider us, that they use our dating to date their shtaris. So in particular, it's not just that in most shtaris, there's not any specific rule like that. But a get, Tosfos points out, a get is a really important thing. It's used to separate a husband and wife. It's used to break a marriage. That's a pretty serious thing. So when they see that we date our gittin according to their kingship, then they realize that we're giving them get a fire. That's, by the way,
Wait.
So first of all, Tosfos points out, the point of mentioning then that it's Malchus Shena Hagenis, the point of mentioning the derogatory fact about the Romans that don't even have a language and a script of their own, is you would think, based on that, look, then why should, if you live in Babel and you date it according to the Roman Empire, why should the people of Babel care? It's like they're yes, it's their rival, but it's like a barely civilized rival. Nevertheless, the point is they still would mind, and therefore you can't do it. They wouldn't like it. They wouldn't like it. That's why if you're in Babel, you have to date according to the kingdom of Babel, Persia, whatever, yeah. And if you're in the Roman Empire, yeah. Actually, there's an interesting thing that the Aruch brings, that maybe we're not talking about the Roman Empire when it was at the peak of its power. Of course, if you're in another place, we mean even after, at one point, the Roman Empire split up. You had an Eastern and a Western Roman Empire, and the Western one pretty much fell apart. You would think maybe they wouldn't care so much. Nevertheless, they still care. So what is it? So what happened? Time passed, and Tosfos Reed points out, time passed, and the Goyim didn't really care anymore how we date our gittin. So therefore, after that, then there wasn't the necessity of dating them davka according to the ruling power. So for example, our Mishnah had said that you can't use dating according to the kingdom of Yavon, and when Alexander the Great came along. Nevertheless, for hundreds of years, that was the common way of dating gittin, because there came a point when the Goyim didn't care what dates you put in gittin. So eventually, they developed in different times, in different places, in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael during the times of the Goyim, they tended to use dating according to the Churban, which is one of the ones the Mishnah said is no good. But again, the at that point, the ruling powers didn't really care. In Babel and some other places, they tended to use Minyan Shtoris, which goes back to when Alexander the Great started his empire. And in various other other places in Europe, they use counting according to Bria Sa'olam, which is what we do nowadays.
So it began
from when Alexander the Great, his empire became a world empire.
It
continued on. I mean, so for hundreds of years, like I say, they used it in Babel. They used it in Egypt up until the 1500s, when the Abbas was the Rav in Egypt in the 1500s. He made them stop using that and start using counting according to creation, the Bria, like the rest of the Jewish world does. And in Yemen, they still continued to use Minyan Shtaris until they all left there for Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, if a kingdom lasts 300 years, It's really not dating the document to say that.
Why? You could the same way as you can write a document. You can say the year 5776. The same way you can say that it's the year 2300 and whatever since Alexander the Great's kingdom. Yeah. So the Mishnah. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Mishum Shloim Malchus Tetz Avlad Mamzer. So what are you saying? Because of a lack of Shloim Malchus, you're going to say that it's such a serious thing that the get is possible, and she has to get divorced from both husband and the child of the Mamzer. The answer is Ain. Reb Meir LeTaimer. Reb Meir goes according to his Svara. Anybody who changes from the format that the Chachamim set up, the Gittin, when it comes to Gittin, Avlad Mamzer. So yes. Even the Chachamim set up that you have to date it according to the ruling government because of Shloim Malchus. So if you change from that, yeah, Avlad Mamzer. Again, until there came the point when the Goyim themselves didn't care anyway, and therefore that Chachamim fell by the wayside. No. I think they found in the Cairo Nida, I think they found Gittin from like the 8th or 9th or 3rd century or something or whatever, and they're not dated according to the ruling kingdom anymore. But anyway. Okay. The Mishnah said l'shum malchus yavam, that if you dated the get according to the kingdom of the Greeks, then it's no good. So the Mishnah mentioned a few cases that you dated according to the kingdom of Media or the kingdom of Greece or the building of the Mishnah or the destruction of the Mishnah. So unless it's a tzricha, we need to be told all those cases. The Yashmin and Malchus Shena Hagenes, if we only told us the first case, the Malchus Shena Hagenes, that you dated according to the Roman Empire, you would say, you know why that's no good, Mishnah de Malicha, because it's right now ruling. If you're in Babel, The rulers in Babel, if they find out that you're dating an important document like a get according to their rival, the Romans, they're going to be upset. Ava Malchus Mada or Malchus Yavam, but you could argue the kingdom of Media and the kingdom of Greece. Why would they care? Mind to have a habit. It's ancient history. The Iyashmein and Malchus Mada or Malchus Yavam, you would argue, okay, Mishum de Malchus Ahu. So they were kingdoms at one point. So maybe you're still hoping for a restoration of those kingdoms or whatever. Aval binyan abayis, you could argue, if you date according to the building of this mikdash, might have a haba. Again, it's ancient history. Why would they care? The Iyashmin and binyan abayis, and if you mention that you can't date it according to the building of this mikdash, you would say damri, because you might argue the goyim would still mind it, because they would say kamad kurishiv chayu. The Jewish people are writing that in order to remember their glory days. Again, like, what are they preparing to rebel against us in order to reinstate their glory days? But if we date according to the Churban, we were dating it according to a painful time for us. You would think they don't mind. So therefore, we need all four cases. So in principle, you could. The universal minhag is that they're dated according to Yetzirah, is that they're dated according to creation. Mishnah says, "Tell you the Mizrach Chakasu B'Ma'ariv, that if you were in the east and you wrote that the get was written in the west." Question is, man, who's in the east or the west? Even with Baal, do you mean the husband? We mentioned the case in the Mishnah that you wrote the wrong name for the husband or for the wife or for his city or her city. So yeah, writing the east versus the west is exactly the same thing. Elo Lab Sofer. So evidently, it must mean that we're talking about where the Sofer is writing the get. Which means you have to write the location where the get is being written, even if it's going to be delivered elsewhere. K'da'amalu Rav L'Safri, like as we find that Rav told his sofrim, the ones who worked for his Beis Din and wrote Gittin, v'cheinamalu Rav Huna L'Safri, and similarly Rav Huna said to his sofrim, p'yasvisu b'shili, if you're located in Shili, the name of the city in Babel, when you're writing the get, k'sovu b'shili, you have to write that. You have to write that the get is being written in Shili. But I forgot the mimsrim b'chomili b'hini. Even if you were given the instructions to write the get, where were you located when you were given the instructions, you were in Hini. Tosfos points out you were authorized in Hini, but you actually wrote it in Shili, so you have to write Shili. And v'chiyasvisu b'hini k'sevu b'hini, and the same thing the other way around. If you're sitting and writing the get in Hini, you have to write Hini. V'afkav demimsu in l'vulchul milu b'shili, even if you were given the instructions in Shili. And Tosfos points out the chiddush is even though Hini and Shili are very close together, the Gemara tells us the Tosfos quotes from a Gemara in Beitza that Rav Huna on Yomim Tovim they would carry him from Shili to Hini or from Hini to. So obviously it can't be that far apart. Nevertheless, there's still two different places.
When you say
Ilamah Baal,
meaning so the Baal wrote the get?
No, Ilamah Baal, do we mean the location where the husband is? So there's, no, it's not. There's two different things. In other words, what we're saying, probably the mizrach because of a meir because of a mizrach means the sofer is means. So the husband. Let's put it in modern terms. The husband might be in New York. He gives instructions to a sofer in LA to write the get. The sofer has to write. The sofer himself has to write LA because that's where he is.
Where
the get is written. If he were to write in New York, where the husband is, that would be possible. Then you have a different thing, which is shina shmoi, or shma shem ira, or shem ira. That if the husband himself is located in one place, then you have to write that. You have to write in the get that that's where he's located.
Makom shabbat.
Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. All of this that we're talking about, that we said that the get is possible in this case, is only according to the mayor. So Rashi says specifically we're talking about the business about dating the get and the business about shloim malchus. This that we said that the Mishnah had said the get is possible and the child from either one would be a mamzer, etc., etc. All that is only according to the mayor. No, the Chachamim say that even if you were to write the get and date it according to the santer of the city, the santer, so Rashi explains that the santer is somebody who, it's an old person in the city whose job is to be familiar with all the property lines. Apparently they didn't have a clerk, yeah. I mean, I guess they didn't have like one central depository of document of real estate deeds like you do nowadays, like you have the city clerk's office or whatever. But you'd have somebody who knows that he knows where one person's field begins and the next person's ends.
That's the
center. Could be a guy, could be a yid, whatever it was. He's appointed to office. He serves out his term. So what we're saying is you could write that the get was written in the 25th year of Santer so and so of so and so serving as Santer here, and it would be valid. The Aruch explains that a Santer is the city watchman. Same idea. Anyway. In the Lakoti Rashi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evidam Amun Alahag. Okay. That's actually Rashi Bam. Yeah. And Rav Basri. Yeah. Okay. And then he brings from a Ben Chanan, but it means Shoyim Rehuri, it means the city watchman. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So, Hareza Megurash, nevertheless, she's Megurash. You don't have to write it according to the ruler, the king, or the world, what have you. Tosfos has a bit of discussion about this, that...
Would the Malchus be upset if you just write down the name of the
sentence? Apparently the Chachamim aren't worried about that. That's the thing. Since the whole concept of writing a date in the get is only the Rabbanon anyway, Rav Meir holds, if you're Meshanim Mefeish Tavu Chachamim, the get is possible. The Chachamim say, okay, maybe you shouldn't be doing it, but it's still, but yeah, it's a valid get.
It's not Shalom Malchus.
Actually, well, wait, then the Gemara, we'll take that back up in a minute, but wait. Anyway. Tosfos explains that we're not necessarily only talking about the matter of the dating. Tosfos says pretty much what you're saying. The santer, at least, okay, he's appointed by somebody who ultimately is answerable to the king, in directly or indirectly. But if you were to use another official who's not answerable to your king, So, in other words, Tosfos explains the voters like this. Rav Meir is saying you need malchus chashuva. You need something that shows the importance of the king. Whereas Chacham say, even a santer, at least he belongs to that malchus, at least that counts for something.
He's supervised by the malchus.
He's supervised by the malchus. Yeah. Then Tosfos brings a whole other explanation from Rabbi Natan that this thing Zudivir of Meir of Chachamim Omrim is not referring to the Shloim Malchus, to the dating business. It's talking about the B'mizrach HaKasa B'mayru business Rather, when we say Zudivir Rav Meir, we're saying Rav Meir would postulate it if you miswrote the location. The Chachamim would agree to that. But the Chachamim say, I don't care about the Malchus at all. The Chachila even, you can use a get that's not dated according to the Malchus. Ligmar tells, who gets to have a cousin?
It has to be dated, but not necessarily
according to the Malchus, according to the Chachamim. Gemara says, "Ahu gita to have a kasev in the shemi standard of the bashker." There was a get that was dated according to the years, in office of governor of Bashker, the name of a region in Babel. And Rashi called Avdei Shamalach, he's a servant of the king. Sholcher of Nachum Baruchitza lachamedu Rabba ki hai gavnamai. So Nachum Baruchitza sends this get with a question, with a shayla to Rabba. What's the din in such a case? Sholach like v'ha'at kilur of Meir Moedi. You know what? In a case like that, where you're dating according to the governor, even a mayor would agree that it's fine. My time and Meir Malchus, because the fact is he belongs to that Malchus. So my shnomi santer should be here. So what's the difference between that and the santer? The difference is the husband is zilulu milsa. Because in that case, if you're dating it by the santer is like the lowest level official there is. So Rashi says the busha, it would be a busha to the king. Where you're ignoring the king and all of his officials and whatever, and you're dating it according to the santer. Whereas over here, it's a shvach. You have a governor, he rules over a major territory. The king will still be flattered by the fact that you're writing it in the name of one of his great
Mesharsis.
He's
supposed to place him like king.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The king keeps writing in the name of the first clerk.
Yeah.
The king will be very upset.
You know, it's somewhat similar to the way, the Rambam describes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how Avodah Zarah got started. People took the view that, you know what, just as a king appreciates when you honor his underlings, the same way Hashem would appreciate if we honor the sun and the moon and whatnot. So here we see it. Yeah, a king appreciates when you honor the governors and all who serve under him. The difference is, of course, the governor has a metzias of his own and has a baal bechira of his own. Whereas the sun and moon are pagaz and the other chotzer, they're like an axe in the hand of the.
You see that on all the Goyshe documents, they state, let's say, the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still, the Shalom Malchus, use the name of the santer, the clerk, and.
The Pashas not, but I don't know. I mean, again, according to the Chachamim, we're saying that it would be valid, but yeah, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would be valid according to them, even though they're not silly. All of this that we're talking about, the problems with the changes in the get, is all only according to Rav Meir. The Chachamim say that in all these cases, the child is kosher. Again, Rashi says specifically, not all these cases, Rashi says again, specifically, we're talking about the Shloim Malchus case. According to Tosfos, it's more generally. But all then, well, I mean, in general, the halacha is not like a mayor against the chachamim. So yeah, we do say that if you're mishanim and mafayash tavo chachamim, that if you change the wording or the formulas of the chachamim use, the get is posel, but posel the rabbanim, not necessarily the daraisa, and not to the and the chachamim are not going to posel it according to the chachamim, according to the rabbanim, the chachamim are not going to posel it to the extent of making the child a mamzer. However, the Chachamim do agree with the Rav Meir that if you were to write incorrectly his name or her name or the name of his city or the name of her city, yes, Shavlat Mamzer. In that case, then there's no maybe Deraisa, maybe Derabon, maybe even Deraisa. You know, the get has to be written the Shmoy or the Shma. If you were okay, maybe Deraisa would be valid because you did have the person in mind. You just wrote the name that he's known by someplace else. But whatever. Okay, so it is possible to drop on, but there we are going to go so far as saying Avad Mamzer. Amar Rav Ashi, Afanan Nami Tenena. As a matter of fact, we see that from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Shino Shmo Yishma Shem Ira V'Shem Ira, that if you wrote the wrong name for him or her, or the wrong city for him or her, Tetz Mizer Mizer, we said she has to get divorced from both husbands, V'Chol Adrachim Ha'elabah, and all these rules, all these Knossim apply to her. Now, you have to ask Haman Kaponila. Which Tana is the one who's teaching that part of the Mishnah? Elamer Rav Meir, are you going to say that it's according to Rav Meir? In that case, why does the Mishnah present it as two separate groups of cases? One, the cases of the wrong dates or the wrong location, Mizrach v'Kasav Amayra, that says Tetz Mizer Mizer, and it lists all the things. Then it starts off with a new thing, Shina Shma Yishma. Let it say them as one group. If you wrote the Shem Malchus Shena Hagenis, Mada Yavan, etc., Mizrach v'Kasav Amayra, or Shina Shma Yishma, then Tetz Mizer Mizer, and then lists everything.
And the reason?
Ella Lot, because the same rules apply to all of them. So evidently, we must say the first part of the Mishnah is daf according to Rav Meir. The Chachamim would say that in those cases where you wrote the wrong dating system, or you wrote the Mizrach versus the Meirav or whatever, then B'dievet will say the get is kosher, or in some cases, maybe even in the case of the Santer, according to Rav Meir, maybe Lachila, whatever. That we won't go so far as to say that the child is a mamzer, and that we apply all these knossim. The second part of the Mishnah is everybody is agreeing that Rabbanan and Rav Meir, that if you change Shmo, etc., then the child is a mamzer. So that proves the point. That proves the point that the Chachamim themselves make that distinction.
On the second part, everybody agrees.
Yes. Well, except for the detail that we mentioned on Amud Aleph that Rashi pointed out when we say that when we say in the case of the Yivama, we said that's the case of the Get. Mishnah continued Kol Arayis to Amru Hula, that we said that all the 15 or 16 Arayis, which are potter from Chalitza or Yivum, we said if their Tzoros go and remarry without Chalitza or Yivum, and it turns out the original one was an Ilonis, then they have a problem. They have all these Knossim. So Gemara says, Nisu in Zinruloi. Evidently, the Mishnah is saying only if they remarried, not if they were Mizana, without doing Chalitza first, or Yivum. Lema Kevi, Tzuv the Zir of Hamnona. In that case, should we say that our Mishnah disproves Zir of Hamnona? Rav Hamnona says that a Shemeres Yavam, who is Mizana, is also to her Yavama. Here, the Mishnah seems to be implying that if they had been Mizana, there wouldn't be an issue. They would be... the Yavam, the Mepashtos, is not any stronger than the original husband. Mepashtos, we mean the Mazin. Yeah. Anyway. Mishnah is telling us then, so you have the two wives, you have Rachel and Leah. Rachel is an Erva, so therefore she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Leah being her Tzara is also potter. Leah goes and marries somebody else, we said. If it turns out Rachel is an Ilonis, then Leah has a problem. However, if instead of going and marrying, we're saying if Leah had been Mizana with somebody else, it seems from the Mishnah there wouldn't be a problem, that she would be able to do even Yivum, or let alone Chalitza, with the Yavam, and then she'd be free to remarry, whereas her Muna is saying that she's also to her Yavam. The answer is, no, not necessarily. Nisu huadim azinu. No, the Mishnah might mean that they got married, but the same thing would apply, actually, if they were, the same thing would apply if they were Mizana as well. They'd also be also to the Yavam. Okay, why are we mentioning Nisu? Because we'd rather mention the proper way, the good case. We'd rather not mention it unnecessarily that they were Mizana. But according to Rav Hamnona, it would apply to both, yeah. Rashi points out, by the way, the logical reason why we might want to think, why we might think that there's a difference between if they remarried versus when they were Mizana, Rashi says, is that if she remarried, people are going to think that he did chalitza. Then she validly remarried, and now he's remarrying her, and you can't marry your chalitza. So you can't marry your chalitza. Yes, they're right. So it's an isra lav, but still, yeah. Tosfos discusses that not necessarily Tosfos has a different understanding of the Gemara over here.
He says you.
No. Tosfos agrees with the basic dinim. They just they understand the Gemara differently because when the Gemara is going to say in a minute that we might confuse nisu with shishalach bial and dinasayam. According to Rashi's explanation, there's no confusing it. It practically is the same thing. Tosfos therefore has a different understanding of the sugya a little bit.
How does he explain it?
Let's see. So when they say if we were to say that if she's Mizana, she's allowed to do Yibum, meaning if we were to disprove Rav Huna, then we would say Rav Hamnona that even if she remarried, we also wouldn't make any Gzera against her. So therefore, so the question on Rav Hamnona is if the Mishnah is implying only Nisu and not Zinu, then how does that fit? How does that fit with what Rav Hamnona is saying? She shouldn't be also at all, whether she was Mizana or whether she was married. And so we're saying that no, actually we mean both of them. We mean Nisu as well as we mean Zinu. Yeah. And the reason is because you might confuse it with a case where he went overseas and then she got a report that he was dead and remarried with him. The Ikadamri, another version, Nisu Ruhua Din Muzinu, that you can say the other way around. When the Mishnah says that they remarried, the pashtus we should assume, again, Mishnah Malia, that the Mishnah wants to use the nicer case, but it means Zinu as well. Lema Messiah later on. In that case, can we say that our Mishnah supports what Ramnuna is saying? Ramnuna Shemeres Yavam Shazinsa Asurli Vama. And if employ, not necessarily, because you could answer Nisu Davka, maybe the Mishnah specifically means the case where they married. Because if she remarried, it's very easily confused with a case where her husband went overseas. They came and told her that he died. She remarries. Where we said, even though it's an oneness, we said that she's also to remarry her first husband because they're going to think that she was divorced by her second husband and then it's returning to her. They're not going to realize that she did it by mistake, thinking that he was dead. So similarly over here, you would have that if she remarried, then you would think people are going to think that he did chalitza, and then she remarried, and now he's marrying a chalitza, which is officer. Whereas nus is not such a there's not such a call about it. People understand that people understand that there was princess involved. People understand that there was no chalitza. Mishnah said a kohenis as yivim zechula that the Mishnah had mentioned two cases involving Yibum, one where the Tzara had remarried, which is what we were just talking about, and it turned out that the original one, it turned out that the one who was an Erva was an Ilonis, and therefore that her marriage never really existed, and therefore she was a valid, therefore she should have done Chalitza or Yibum, and she hadn't. Then we had a second case where the one who actually did Yibum turns out to be an Ilonis, and therefore the Tzara, again, has this situation. We need both cases in the Mishnah. If we were only told about the first case where she was Osir as an Erva and therefore Tzara was thought that she was Potter, the difference is from the light kindness of Yibum. You might argue, you know why we can't say her. The fact is, no Yibum was accomplished. The first one, neither one was, it was thought that both of them are Potter from Yibum and Chalitza, one for being an Erva, one for being Tzara's Erva. Now it turns out there should have been Yibum done. But in the second case, the fact is, you would think the mitzvah of Yibum has been accomplished in the sense that the Tzara did do Yibum. Okay, it turns out it was not a good Yibum because she's an Ilonis, but fine, at least something was done to do a valid Yibum. Amalos, you would think maybe not. We don't do all this. The Yashmein and Hocha, if we only have the second case, you would say Mishum Dekor Rami Yakameh because if you only had the second case where the one who did Yibum turned out to be an Ilonis, you would say the reason why you're more machmer there is because in principle both of them were subject to Yibum. Both of them could have either one could have done Yibum. It turned out one of them did Yibum and the other one therefore figured she's Potter and went off and remarried. But she was Ramiya Kameh. She was originally supposed to be in front of him. She was a candidate for Yibum. Abel Hossam below Ramiya Kameh, but in the first case was an Erva and a Tzara, where neither of them was thought to be a candidate for Yibum at all, one because she's an Erva and one because she's a Tzara Serva. Amalos, you would think...
How come people would not think she was a...
She was an Ilonis?
They should have done Yibum in the first case.
No. In the first case, there was... No, that's the difference. In the first case, nobody was supposed to be a candidate for Yibum. Now that we discovered that one of them was... Now that we discovered that the one who was an Erver is an Ilonis, now all of a sudden we realize the second one would have been a candidate for Yibum. She should have done Yibum or Chalitza. In the second case, both of them were, neither one of them is an Erva. In principle, either one of them could have been a candidate for Yibum or Chalitza. Lamai said one of them did. Turned out it was the wrong one because she's an Ilonis. Tzricha, it's Eim Alois, you would think not. Tzricha, therefore we need both cases. Mishnah said, Kosva Sofer V'tav and nothing get the issue of Shogel. We have the case where the Sofer mixed up the two documents. He gave the get to the wife and the Shogel to the husband. They exchanged documents. Later on, you find out then, yeah. So Rabbi Lazar, had made a distinction whether you found out the mistake right away or later. Hechidom la'alto, hechidom la'asman. What's considered right away, what's considered later, yeah. When it's as long as they're sitting and still dealing with matters involving the get or the shova or whatever, zerul alta, and that's considered right away. So in other words, if during that time, while they're still in the middle of these discussions and everything, if she would have been miscavish to somebody else, then that's where you'd start having the issues. Avul, omdu, but if they get up, zerul achazman, that's considered later on. And then Rabbi Elazar would say that at that point, we have to assume everything was done properly, and then later on they switched documents.
So that could be just one day, or
No. If she hadn't gotten married yet, she hadn't gotten married yet to a second husband, that's considered lauter. It's still considered that we have to, we
have a period of time.
Yes. The nisis, once she gets married, zero la'achazman, that would be considered la'achazman.
Well, that could be a few years, basically.
Yeah. Let's look at the Mishnah and see if we can answer the question based on that. The Mishnah had said that Rabbi Elazar says that if it's la'achazman, loy kol haymenu menarishin la'abed zchus l'shosheni, we cannot believe the first one to say, I never gave this get to my wife, the sofer gave it to her, and then she gave it to me. You can't believe him la'abed zchus l'shosheni, to make the second person lose his zchus, that he should have to divorce his wife and that all these penalties apply. So Bishlam a lot of Adaba Ava and the Katani Shani. According to Adaba Ava, that La'achazman means she got remarried. Okay, then there's a Shani, there's a second person involved. El the Shmuel my Shani, according to Shmuel, what second person is there? Not necessarily, okay, theoretically, maybe she could have accepted Kedushin during that time, but not necessarily. Who says there's a second person involved? The answer is Chusar Uya the Shani. According to Shmuel, we would understand the word Shani doesn't mean literally the second person. It means once she leaves, once she leaves and she has a chazakah at that point of being divorced, she's entitled to be marrying somebody else. That potential second person has the schus to be able to marry her, and therefore Rabbi Elazar says you have to leave that in his hands. We have to assume that maybe they're playing a trick or something. They switched around documents in order to falsely claim that she's not divorced.